a gallon. America was young and strong and brave. Lord knows that I didn't have much money. My old car had seen some better days. You were young and fresh as brand new roses. I was so in love and strong and brave. Back when gas was 30 cents a gallon and love was only 60 cents away. I don't think I'd know you if I'd see you. I'd practice my forgetting till it works. Back when gas was 30 cents a gallon, I didn't know the meaning of her. Back when gas was 30 cents a gallon and sweet magnolias lined those country roads, we burned a tank of love most every weekend. And on work days, I helped them fix the roads. Our friends were many and our dreams were certain. Never thought we'd go our separate ways. Back when gas was 30 cents a gallon and love was only 60 cents away. Practice my forgetting till it works. Back when gas was 30 cents a gallon, I didn't know the meaning of her. Back when gas was 30 cents a gallon, love was only 60 cents away.
Yeah, man, those were the days, huh? Those were the days. I remember going downtown and saying, pulling into a gas station, full serve, yeah, and saying, give me a dollar's worth. Those days will never be back. White Aryan Resistance calling. White Aryan Resistance calling. This is White Aryan Resistance. Terrible Tommy, Tom Metzger, right here in the bunker on a Friday, Freya's Day. We sent that song out to all the she-wolves out there. I think Tom T. Hall, he's one of my favorite singers. I like the one, 60 Minutes to Get Out of Town or something like that. The guy gets jacked up by crooked sheriff and for speeding, and they put him in jail and all that. Yeah, I like old Tom T. Hall. Yeah. And I like Watermelon Wine, too, if you haven't heard it. Well, it's September the 26th today. Another beautiful day here in Indiana. Sunshine brightly. And it's going to be up in the 70s again, maybe even up to 80. Wow. We feel sorry for all you people in all these other areas. that got bad weather. We got beautiful weather, but I think we're going to pay for it. Yeah, I think we're going to pay for it. We're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. That's where you send your donations, and we can use them. We can always put them to work. And your snail mail, and any mail you want us to pass on to maybe a POW or something like that. And I won't open it. Well, I will open it, because I don't want anybody sending mail through me that's threatening somebody and getting my ass in the jam. That would be easy to do. Okay, let's see what's going on here and with the news, and see how bad things are. See how the Attorney General's doing. I see he shed a tear yesterday on television that he was leaving his butt buddy Obama. Yeah. Now, yesterday I passed along this rumor that the Reverend Al Sharpton might be made Attorney General, which whoever dreamt that up was clever as hell. One of our associates jumped on me about that. Some people are so damn literal. But anyhow, even though it was, and I got to thinking about it, that's a hell of a good rumor, because it makes people immediately think of that rotten, no good Reverend Al Sharpton. And most people don't like him. And so that was a good tactic. But when I pass something like that along to you, some people are too literal. At least one person tries to take me to the woodshed all the time. Now, I know about this people that are real literal. I live with one, and she is so literal. Sometimes we have a hard time communicating because of that literalism. Anyhow, when I put something out, I keep telling you people, many times it's caca, many times it's false flag, but I say something about it, like I did yesterday. This is probably a rumor, it could be a rumor or whatever, or I heard about it. So don't get all excited, "Oh, Tom, you fell for it again, they got you." That's bullshit, so don't be so damn literal. Same way about this cop thing. You know, it's like I'm saying every cop in the world is bad. I never said that. I don't believe that. But many cops are bad. And so, but a literal person will say, you attacked all the cops. You hate all cops. I only hate the ones that do bad things. And ones that have an attitude. There's nothing turns me off faster than a cop with an attitude, because you don't need to have an attitude unless you're getting out of line. You don't have to be nasty. A cop don't have to be smart mouth when he pulls you over. So anyhow, don't be so damn literal on everything. Like I said, I think yesterday or the day before, what do you want me to say? All the cops are friends and they're all on our side? You want to make it worse for the good cops? Do you really want to do that? It's better that for the way we're painted in the press, it's better for us to say we can't stand any cop. They're safer that way than if I come out and say, "Oh, well, we got a lot of cop friends. They're all on our side." Yeah. That's not going to help the cops out. The good cops. Oh, yeah, here's a sample of this literalism of my friend. The whole Sharpton replaced Eric Holder's story is just more neocon nonsense. Come on, T.T., I can't believe you fell for their crap again. I didn't fall for any crap. To be Attorney General, you must be an attorney. Sharpton is not and has never been an attorney, so it is legally impossible for him to run and hold that position, even if Obama wanted him to. Yeah, but the story raises hell all over the country. It causes consternation. Everybody in the coffee shops around the country, white guys, are saying, "Look at that son of a bitch," because most of them hate him anyhow. I'm glad that rumor's around. Now that I think about it, this story originated from Rush Limbaugh, another scumball. and is based on Sharpton saying that his National Action Network was engaged in conversations with the White House on finding a suitable replacement. Yeah, I heard that too. In other words, Sharpton's group is asking the White House to hire another nigger. Yeah, that's probably true. That's not exactly surprising news. No, it isn't, but they keep hammering away at the white people to piss them off. There is not any possibility of Sharpton himself taking the job because he said before, you must be an attorney. If I had to guess, I would put my money on a mestizo or a woman getting the job because it would help cement those voting blocks in the next presidential election. Of course, understand one thing. This is all first-class bullshit from start to finish. You take it too seriously. Frankly, I don't know why any of our people are listening or believing in Rush Limbaugh. Well, none of my people are listening to Rush Limbaugh. I mean, scumbag. He's a rat. He's been a rat for so long as I can't hardly remember. Whenever you get these neocon stories, it's safest to assume they're either wrong or liars, because that is usually the way it turns out. If our people don't get their minds away from the neocon crowd, then this race is done for. That is a political movement that thrives on stupidity, ignorance, and superstition. To the woodshed, Metzger. You're wrapped too tight. You're literal and you're wrapped too damn tight. You gotta have a sense of humor a little bit. And there's nothing funnier and also enrages the dummies and the sheep out there to say that Al Sharpton's going to be Attorney General. And a lot of them are going to believe it right on through to the campaign. So that's good. I hope, I don't think, if the neocons started that rumor, they did good once in a while. We need to start more rumors. And if need be, lie about the bastards. Well, I see we have a new rumor around that a lot of women are getting a new tattoo in Europe to protect themselves from Muslim men. I'll send it along to you. It shows one breast, beautiful, I might say, with a pig's face surrounding the nipple, and the nipple is the nose on the pig. That's cool. That's not a bad idea. I don't know whether it would work with some of them, though. They're not all that religious. Now, I got to say, that's got to be a neocon rumor, but I'm going to put it out anyway. Now, on that story about the cop shooting a guy yesterday, it's gone viral. And it was pretty obvious to me what was going on there, but anyhow, one of our associates said, I don't think the cop had any intent and doubt the charges will stick. Intent? He pointed a gun and shot at him 4 times at close range. He was just an idiot who had a clean record, passed the test, and had a short circuit in his brain. Well, these people are supposed to be screened closer than that for being idiots, because we sure as hell get screened if we pull a gun, and God help us, Thor help us, if we shoot somebody, we never get off the hook, do we? No, we don't. I don't see this incident as an example of East police, or evil police, or corruption. Well, I didn't cover it as evil police, just a police officer that shouldn't be a police officer. I have had police try to collect a private debt from me with the threat of jail, tell me that they don't want my kind in their town, subsequent to a Jew calling the police after I made a Jew joke at work. Had a cop friend that loaned me firearms, state issued, knowing that I'm a felon. The cop did what he did because of training, law enforcement, and being an idiot. Well, we agree. But we got to get those kind of guys out of there. The Ferguson case seems to me to be one example of why races should never share the same society. I doubt charges will even be filed in that case. Well, I don't know what's going to happen if you're talking about Ferguson. They're back at it again. You know, I say cordon off the black end of town and have black cops take care of it. You're right. Lincoln said that. Everybody said that, knowing that they should be free. They can't live in the same area. They can't live together. It never was meant to work. Nature will not tolerate it, other than dragging us all down into a pit. Well, it's coming on fall and soon winter, but in Ukraine there's not going to be much happiness because the Hungarian gas line operator has suspended gas shipments to the Ukraine from Hungary as of 1600 Greenwich Mean Time on Thursday because of an expected heavy increase in gas shipments going the opposite way, it said in a statement. The shipments have been suspended indefinitely, the pipeline operator FGSZ said. As system users notified us, starting on the gas day of September 26, 2014, demand for imports increased significantly, the operator said in an email statement. Well, that's interesting. Maybe Russia's putting the pressure on through the back door, huh? And if the so-called West keeps putting sanctions against Russia, if I was Russia, I'd shut the gas off completely to Europe. Let them have a few weeks of cold winter. Well, looks like another neocon rumor. Gas chambers have been unearthed at an infamous German death camp where thousands of people died, archaeologists announced. I wonder where those archaeologists are from. Do you think? Israel? The discovery comes 8 years after excavators began digging at Sobibor, an extermination camp that was hidden in the woods of German-occupied eastern Poland. Gee, and they just found it. Wow. Quote, we were amazed at the size of the building and the well-preserved condition of the chamber walls, almost like they'd been built recently. Israeli archaeologist Yoram Haimi said in a statement, the most poignant moment was when we found a wedding band next to the gas chambers, on which was the Hebrew inscription, Behold, you are consecrated unto me. It's been a daunting task for archaeologists to make sense of Sobibor, which was demolished by the Germans in 1943, and was later covered up by an asphalt road. In an interview with the Israeli newspaper Haaretz last year, Haimi described the site as a mess containing human bones, human ash, and described the site as a mess. Throughout their excavations, Haimi and his Polish colleagues have come across many discarded personal items of the Jews who died there, including pendants, earrings, jewelry, perfume bottles, medicine cases. Last summer, the team discovered traces of a possible escape tunnel. But now, with the discovery of the gas chambers, the excavators hope that they can learn more about the thousands of Holocaust victims endured before they died. We will now be able to know more precisely what the process of murder was in the camp. Yeah. And what the Jews went through until they were murdered. David Silberklang, senior historian at the International Institute of Holocaust Research, said in a statement, additionally, finding the gas chambers and their capacity will enable us to estimate more precisely the number of people murdered at Sobibor. Well, I guess the old story was losing ground. They had to pump some more stuff, pump up the story again. Estimates for the number of people killed at Sobibor between 1942 and 43 range from 167,000 to upwards of 250,000. Though most were gassed upon arrival, some prisoners were spared immediate death, only to be forced to help with the gas chamber's operations and disposal of dead bodies. Now, how did they do that? Did they burn the bodies? Did they toss them in the river? And if they burnt them in crematoriums, where are all the ashes of 250,000 people? The story's still got holes in it. If they prove it to me, I'll say, okay, there it is. But I don't trust these people, and I don't trust the people that are reporting this stuff either. In October 43, about 600 prisoners revolted at Sobibor and killed nearly a dozen of their German guards. But of the 300 prisoners who managed to break out of the camp after the revolt, many were eventually captured and killed, and only about 50 escapees were believed to have survived the war. After the uprising, the camp was shut down, according to U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum. Well, if 50 escapees were believed to have survived the war, where are they, and why haven't they testified about this place before? These are things in a court of law that had any justice to it. There's plenty of questions could be asked, and I think some of the answers would be sort of weird. The excavations at Sobibor are being carried out under Yad Vashem's International Institute for Holocaust Research, the German-Polish Foundation, and the Majdanek State Museum. Well, I'm not against, if there's real evidence and can be proven, saying, oh, okay. But there's a lot of holes in this story so far. I can see it right off. First, you had people who did escape, and from what we know, didn't testify about this place and what was in it. Second of all, they had up to 250,000 bodies to get rid of, and how did they do that without leaving massive amounts of ashes in the ground or in the rivers or skeletons in the ground? Where did they go? You know, they never talk about that much. So anyhow, we'll see whether it's a neocon rumor or what's going on. You know, as well as I do, people believe what they want to believe, and most of the people in the Christian world want to believe it and want to believe everything about it. They're still talking about lampshades made out of skin. That was disproven and talked about even by the Jews, and they're still attributing to those things to the Germans. Anyhow, it's all over. Maybe the whole thing was a setup from the very beginning. After the agreement, the documents were signed between the SS and the Zionists, who knows what they were up to? Most people will say, well, they were just doing that to get the Jews out of there and going to take them over to Israel. But was there more to it? Was the breakdown of these camps and all that kind of stuff a part of the total plan that maybe, this is not neocon, this is Tom, there were other things about this that don't add up? I've talked to you about it before. Anyhow, we'll go from there. Like I said before, I personally think it had to do with the top Zionists of the world deciding to teach the Jews a lesson, bring them back in line, that so many German Jews were assimilated Jews and had nothing to do with Judaism, and that the thing was pretty much a setup as far as I'm concerned. But nobody wants to buy that on our side or their side, either side. Well, the Republican Party is going the way of the Whigs. The only thing that keeps them going is massive amounts of money. Prospective Republican presidential candidates are promoting religious liberty at home and abroad at a gathering of evangelical Christians or conservatives, rebuking an unpopular President Barack Obama while skirting divisive social issues that have tripped up the GOP. The annual Values Voter Summit opened Friday in Washington with speeches and so forth from a whole bunch of people. Yeah. Including Kentucky Senator Rand Paul, Texas Senator Ted Cruz, former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, and Louisiana Governor non-white Bobby Jindal. I don't know whether he's Indian or Pakistani. The program features an ambitious Republicans with positions of social issues across the spectrum, from the libertarian leading Paul, who favors less emphasis on abortion and gay marriage, to Huckabee, a former Southern Baptist pastor whose conservative social values defined his brand. We need a president who will speak out for prisoners of faith, Cruz declared Friday, citing Christians around the world facing persecution. Well, aren't you supporting the Islamic religion too? Come on. The Texas senator later chastised those in the GOP calling for Republican candidates to downplay social issues ahead of the November elections. Well, what other issues do you have that you have the balls to come out with? That's all you're running on is so-called social issues. You can't foreign policy? You can't run on foreign policy. Well, you can try, because there's a hell of a lot of warmongers in this country. Anyhow, they're meeting and talking it over, getting ready for whatever. You know, on this Hannah Graham, the so-called missing UVA student, everybody's got the impression that this big ugly nigger grabbed her and took her away. But knowing the way they're teaching them in college today and all the race mixing, I wonder if she wasn't his girlfriend. Let's think about that. Well, we have an upset rabbi. You know, they didn't like him at the restaurant, and he kicked him out. What's going on here?
Was refused service because he's Jewish. 16 WAPT said Os Brown checked whether Mississippi law could allow a restaurant owner to deny a customer because of his religion.
Rabbi Ted Reiter says the words caught him off guard.
I asked the owner if I could have a Greek salad to go, and he said the regular size or the Jewish size. And I was taken back a little bit. And I said, what did you mean by that? And he said, well, you know, Jews are cheap and are small, and everyone knows this. And I said to him, did you really say that?
Reiter claims when he told the owner, John Ellis, that he was Jewish, Ellis threw him out.
He just goes into a tirade and throwing out all these expletives and just cursing at me and saying, get out of here.
After our first report, restaurant owner John Ellis claimed the whole thing was a misunderstanding.
Did you tell him to get out?
The guy said he didn't want to do any business with us because he was probably offended because we offered different salads. That's all. No, I said a Greek salad or Jew. We have several different salads.
We looked at the restaurant menu in the store and online, but no mention of a, quote, Jewish salad. Some viewers on our Facebook page asked if Mississippi's new religious freedom law would allow a restaurant to deny service.
Factually, it's hard to imagine. Legally, it's impossible.
MC Law Professor Matt Steffi says Ellis would have to prove that serving the rabbi infringed on his religious belief, which he says would be next to impossible.
I don't know anybody's religious strictures that demand engaging in anti-religious sentiment or slurs of this nature.
Reiter says he doesn't plan to take legal action.
I don't want to do anything to cause a further rift between the store owner and the larger Jackson community.
Ellis says he's ready to move on too.
If the rabbi would like to name a salad after him, we gladly name a Rita salad.
In Jackson, Hadass Brown, 16.
Well, sob, sob. I'm sorry, Rabbi. Mississippi, I guess, don't like you. Well, I guess this is the story of the day. How about this? There are many things one might expect people to smuggle across the American border and into other countries inside their pants, but dozens of aquatic reptiles? That's exactly what one man was found hiding near Detroit. Canadian citizen K.A.I. XU, guess what? It was no Anglo-Saxon, was trying to return to Windsor when he was caught with 51 turtles inside his sweatpants last month. According to recently unsealed court documents, the Detroit Free Press reports, The reason for stuffing his pants with this many animals isn't clear at this point. But officials investigating the incident believe that he was trying to sell the turtles to markets in Asia where the reptiles are a popular treat. Quote, there is now a burgeoning Asian market, unquote, said Gavin Shire of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, who helped authorities investigate the incident. He also told the newspaper, there's a lot of both illegal and unregulated turtle consumption. Well, I've eaten turtle when I was a kid. Yeah, a couple of times. At the same time, the criminal complaint filed in court does not state whether or not XU, this individual, tried to clarify why he had more than 50 turtles in his pants. What the authorities do know is that they spotted XU picking up a package in Detroit that was from Alabama and marked live fish, keep cool. The complaint says that after XU opened the box, he was seen carrying a pair of scissors, tape, and bags to a spot in between two UPS semi-trailers, only to walk back to his car with no bags. Instead, there were bulges under his pant legs that could be seen. Wow, this is really getting exciting. As XU made his way to the border and tried to enter Canada, he was stopped in a search that uncovered eastern box turtles, red-eared spiders, and diamondback terrapins in his pants. The law enforcement officials have levied three charges against XU: smuggling goods from the United States, trading in specimens illegally, and exporting fish for wildlife illegally. Notably, this isn't the first time someone has been arrested trying to smuggle turtles illegally, though the last time the turtles were actually found to be going in the other direction, into the United States. Under the title of operating a flying turtle, two Japanese citizens were arrested for smuggling 55 turtles and tortoises into the United States. The turtles were reportedly brought to the U.S. and sold to pet stores at Asushi Yamagami in Osaka, who then used the money to buy various reptiles in North America that could be sold again in Japan. Yamagami is believed to have undertaken more than 40 trips between the U.S. and Japan before he was arrested. He was sentenced to 21 months in prison and ordered to cough up $18,000 in fines. Ultimately, he apologized for his behavior and vowed not to repeat it. Well, everybody does that. Quote, I am extremely ashamed and remorseful about my actions, he wrote in a letter to the U.S. judge. There you go, and you thought you'd heard it all. And thank you, Mr. B, for that story. Or was it a story? Now I want you to listen to something and see if you agree. This person is a person, personality on the web with a web video comment. And he says he's a nationalist.
Today, one of my impressions on the story, I guess it's made national and international news. And so I showed regular people this clip, people that aren't involved with politics. I'm like, what do you think of this guy? I mean, how does he come across? Well, let me show you. What do you guys think of it?
Discipline, brave, strong white men on the street to see to it that we no longer have a condition in this country where we allow our women, our children to be attacked on the streets, and all we can do is talk about hypocrisy. All we can do is talk about...
My fear! My fear! I can't help my... SPLG is going to use a clip of me, and I know they will, but they'll well. He's acting. It's fake. I don't know why people can't see it. The people I show it to, they're like, oh, yeah, he's acting. It's so over the top. This guy's name, Robert Ramsdale, I never heard of him, okay? He's a part of National Alliance, and I looked him up and looked at his quotes. He's like a walking cliche. He says all the cliche neo-Nazi, white supremacist, white nationalist things. And the left, the media loves him, right? Because he came up with this clever slogan, with Jews, you lose. And the media is like, yeah, they love this guy because they can put him in front and it just associates everyone with nationalism as being just a fucking kook, right? And, you know, and another thing is, why are all these guys that are so obsessed with the Jews, why do they look like so Jewish? I'm not saying he is. I'm just saying it's just weird how they really look that way. So, I don't know, guys. What do you want me to say about this guy? I know everyone's going to call me all, Ramsey Paul, you're just a Jew spy, you're being paid off. If I am, okay, I don't care. Just think what you want. It's just what frustrates me, because I see so many people that I call pro-white. And being pro-white doesn't mean you have to hate other people. It means you care about your people and you want self-determination. And what happens, and I'm not saying necessarily this Robert guy is, but we know some people have been, like Hal Turner, they're paid off. They're paid informants. They're paid to make nationalists look like kooks and look horrid. And so they say these wild quotes, they get on TV, they play the part of the clown. Craig Cobb was like that. And Craig, I don't think, was paid off, but he was just a natural idiot. So they get these people to just try to smear the whole movement. The left loves it. I mean, if you do something crazy like this, you're going to get all over the news. And they're not going to put someone like Jared Taylor or Richard Spencer or even Greg Johnson, people that are really smart and intelligent. No, they're just going to put these people that say these wild quotes. And I'll prove it. Okay, here's this one of the quotes this guy gave. If you want to keep your firearms, you better also support the immediate annihilation of racial integration in America, because the savage and uncivilized nature of most blacks will soon lead to laws that ban firearms. Again, a guy that's really serious about our cause of nationalism would never say something like that. That's fake. That's like written out of the SPLC. And I'm not saying this guy is. I'm just saying, I don't know how you guys always fall for the same thing. It amazes me. So I don't want to be associated with any of that trash. And I consider this guy trash, the Craig Cobb element, the kook element. We need to make like a firewall to have a serious organizations of people, our people, that don't say kooky things and hate on other people, but work to build us up and to build a nation. That's what we need. And I don't know what the answer is to prevent these people, because it is a clever strategy. If I'm the enemy, I'm going to pay people to act like total retards to try to smear that everyone else. It's kind of the guilt by association thing. And again, I'm not saying Robert is. I don't know if he's paid off or he's just a kook. But we need a way to stop being associated with these type of people. And I know everyone, you know, they're going to say I'm just paid off and everything. I don't care what you think. I'm more interested in doing the right thing. Talk to you guys later.
I think I've seen this guy on the web before a couple of times. I haven't really paid a lot of attention, but I agree with part of what he says and part of it I don't. Now, this young man is running as a write-in candidate, and we all know or should know by now that a write-in candidacy really goes nowhere. In fact, I did it here a few years ago. It was ridiculous. I must have been out of my mind, because before I'd always been actually on the ballot. If you're going to be serious in running for election and get in a situation where you can get on the radio and TV and say anything you want because of being certified and on the ballot, and that's what you should do. Because as a write-in candidate, you don't get all that free exposure unless you just say, you know, wilder and wilder things. Now, I'm sure that the basic sentiment in some ways with this fellow we agree with. But there's just something that doesn't ring true. I was called by a friend of mine who's another broadcaster on the web, and he was wanting me to put this guy on the radio show. And I said, I don't know. I'm going to wait and watch this for a while and see more of what he's got to say. And then I finally told a guy, no, I don't want this guy on my show. I'm suspicious of this guy. Comes out of nowhere. I don't know whether he's with National Alliance or not. I don't know. I don't have any information on that. But every once in a while, when things get a little quiet on our side, where nothing's being put out at all, and of course you know why they don't put some of us on the radio and TV, You know, not that, that I'm the best thing going, but you know why I'm blocked, because I can go from one thing to another pretty easily and get some really good stuff in. But I'm not really in tune with the intellectual types either, the nationalists or whatever they want to call themselves, that think that they can put out a lot of good information. And some of it is good information, but it's not pizzazzy enough to get through to the people. And if you can't get through to the people, somewhat a waste of time. So it's a tightrope we walk. This guy probably would consider me one of the kooks, too. I don't know. But hopefully we get enough through there that we can reach the right kind of people. And they read between the lines. They know what I'm talking about. So I wouldn't want to spend any money on this candidate. But that's, of course, totally up to you. I mean, you know, look at... I can't remember the guy back east who just ran for... He was running for sheriff about a year ago, and he was all excited, and he was going to become the sheriff of the county, a county which he incidentally just moved into, and running against a well-installed sheriff who'd been there in power for quite some time. He didn't have a chance, and I think he was either running as a Republican or maybe he was running on a riding candidacy, and he was reaching out to get the money, send me money, almost like a Hal Turner, and then it was nothing, and nothing came out on the news. I don't know if he lost, I know he lost, but he just dropped off the edge of the earth. So anyhow, it's a wild and crazy struggle we're in, and there's going to be all kinds of people. Every once in a while they come up with a new one, and whether he's being actually financed or promoted by some of our opposition, I have no idea. But I know one thing, I don't have time for him. I think I told you yesterday about the article. I don't think I read it to you, but it basically said partyism now trumps racism. I believe that's true to a large degree. Instead of people thinking about race like they should be thinking, white people, it's turning into partyism. In other words, the two major parties, the Republican and Democrat, people are getting fanatical about these parties again. I think at one time, maybe back in the 1800s, they did too. I remember my stepfather telling me that back in the early part of the last century, my stepfather was quite old. He told me about going into town, small town here in Indiana, with his father, and there was a Republican meeting in the street back when they had just dirt streets and the streets were all muddy and everything. Republicans were putting on a campaign event on the main drag. Either that or it was the Democrats, I forget which, and the other party rode into town on horses, and there was a big riot, and he got kicked in the head, or at least knocked over and rolled in the mud. So people used to get real serious about parties too, but now it seems like it's really getting, it's getting wild. The disparity between what the Republicans and the Democrats are saying, or what Fox TV and what MSNBC. I mean, on any issue, they're totally 180 degrees out with each other, and they're ready to kill each other. So I think we may lose a lot of our opposition by inter-party killing the way it's going. So that's interesting. However, I disagree with the writer of the article somewhat, even though he's from Harvard. I think that this stuff will peak out in race. I don't care, you can talk party all you want, but when the fisticuffs fly and the violence starts, it's going to revert to race. I don't know whether I read this to you yesterday, pardon me if I did. If you're a Democrat, would you marry a Republican? Would you be upset if your sister did? Researchers have long asked such questions about race and have found that along important dimensions, racial prejudice is decreasing. That's too bad, but I don't believe it. At the same time, I mean overt racism, yeah. At the same time, party prejudice in the U.S. has jumped, infecting not only politics, but also decisions about dating, marriage, and hiring. By some measures, partyism now exceeds racial prejudice, which helps explain the intensity of some midterm election campaigns. Well, you see it in the Congress of the United States. They don't even talk to each other. They shut the whole process down. The Republicans said, when Obama got in, we don't care what he does, he ain't going to be right. We're going to be against it no matter what. In 1960, 5% of the Republicans and 4% of the Democrats said that they would feel displeased if their son or daughter married outside their political party. By 2010, those numbers reached 49% and 33%. Republicans have been found to like Democrats less than they like people on welfare or gays and lesbians. Democrats dislike Republicans more than they dislike big business. Wow. Let me see here. Consider one of the most influential measures of prejudice, the implicit association test, which is simple to take. You see words on the upper corners of a screen, for example, white paired with either good or bad in the upper left corner, and black paired with one of the same adjectives in the upper right corner. Then you see a picture or a word in the middle of the screen, for example, a white face, an African-American face, or the word joy or terrible. Your task is to click on the upper corner that matches either the picture or the word in the middle. Many white people quickly associate joy with the upper left corner when it says white and good, but have a harder time associating joy with the left corner when the words there are black and good. So too many white people quickly associate terrible with the left corner, which it says black and bad, but go a lot more slowly when the left corner says white and bad. These are good signs, man. To test for political prejudice, Shanto Yingar, what the hell kind of name is that, and Sean Westwood, political science at Stanford University, conducted a large-scale implicit association test with 2,000 adults. They found people's political biases are much larger than their racial biases. I think people lie, number one, in these tests. When Democrats see joy, it's much easier for them to click on a corner that says Democratic and good than one that says Republican and good. To find out whether such attitudes predict behavior, Yingar and Westwood undertook the following study. They asked more than 1,000 people to look at resumes of several high school seniors and say which ones should be awarded a scholarship. Some of these resumes contained racial cues. President of the African American Student Association, while others had political ones. President of the Young Republicans. Race mattered. African American participants preferred the African American candidates 73% to 27%. Whites showed a modest preference for African American candidates as well, though by significantly smaller margin. But partisanship made a much bigger difference. Both Democrats and Republicans selected their party candidate about 80% of the time. Even when a candidate from the opposing party had better credentials, most people chose the candidate from their own party. With respect to race, in contrast, merit prevailed. In a further test of political prejudice, Yingar and Westwood asked 800 people to play the trust game, well known among behavioral scientists. Player one is given some money, to say $10, and told that she can give some or all of it to player number two. Player number one is then told that the researcher will triple the amount she allocates to player two, and that player two can give some of it back to player one. When player one decides how much money to give player two, a central question is how well she trusts him to return an equivalent or greater amount. Are people less willing to trust people of a different race or party affiliation? The researcher found that race didn't matter, but party did. People are significantly more trusting of others who share their party affiliation. What accounts for the explosive growth of political prejudice? Modern campaigns deserve some of the blame. Yengar and his colleagues show that when people are exposed to messages that attack members of the opposing party, their biases increase. But the destructive power of partyism is extending well beyond politics into people's behavior and daily life. Well, yeah. That Republican ain't going to marry a Democrat, and vice versa. Well, you hear it on the radio and on the internet every day. The right wingers, they just go frothing at the mouth against the progressives, and the progressives go frothing at the mouth against the Republicans. They just go absolutely berserk. And it's growing more and more. However, I still say hang in there with race, because then in the end, it will boil down to race. Well, if you don't want to be a Hollywood Nazi, maybe you could be a Hollywood German Army Flecktarn shirt guy, because you can buy them over at, what was that outfit? It's a Swiss Link German Army Flecktarn shirt for $3.96. Not bad. And you can sort of, you'll have plausible deniability, of course, but where the hell is this name of this outfit? I'll find it here in a second. Oh, Mills Fleet Farm. So I'm sure they're available on the internet. They sell all kinds of stuff. But see, you can get close to being seen as a German military person without actually putting a swastika on. For our more timid people. Boy, they're really hard up for news about the KKK. Now, here's something that's going to go around the world. School investigates after photo surfaces of a student in a KKK mask. Yeah. Holding a piece of paper fashioned to look like a Ku Klux Klan mask. Now, this happened at the Zion Christian Academy, I'm telling you.
It's unbelievable that you're still going through this. I mean,
it's the shocking picture taken at a local school that prompted a concerned mom to call News 2 for answers. Good evening, everyone. I'm Bob Mueller.
And I'm Ann Holt. Thank you for joining us. Take another look at this photo. The high school student holding what looks like a Ku Klux Klan mask while giving a Nazi salute, the gesture aimed at a black classmate.
New at 6, News 2, Joseph Pleasant talks with the victim's mother, who says this was the last straw.
On Zion Christian Academy's webpage, the headmaster promises parents a safe, loving, caring Christian environment for their children. But when you see this picture, the words safe, loving, caring, and Christian likely don't come to mind.
It was hurtful. It's just unbelievable that you're still going through this. I mean, it's 2014.
Christy Leach's son, DeFelix, is a junior at the Columbia Private School. In class Wednesday, a student hides his face behind what looks like paper fashioned to resemble a Ku Klux Klan hood. He then gives a Nazi salute towards DeFelix. He snapped this picture.
When I got the picture, I mean, something had to be done.
Leach told me that picture was not the first time her son complained about racism inside the schools. In fact, she said, he had reported it to administrators before.
A lot of racial comments, being called the N-word. He had recently given a list of students that were making these comments to him, and nothing was done about it.
Leach met with ZCA's headmaster, Don Wallman, Wednesday morning. Then we talked to him.
Very devastated, very discouraged, very hurt. We had a full assembly this morning with all the high school students and addressed the issue and explained our position and Christ's position, that that is not to be tolerated. It's a sinful act.
Wallman told me he could not comment on discipline for the student in the picture, but he has met with the student's family.
We will have zero tolerance toward any comments that are bullying or racially motivated. We're going to take everyone exactly the same.
Leach told me she feels better after her meeting with Wallman.
No doubt that this is a good school, you know, and there's some good people in this school. It's just a handful of students that don't want to do the right thing in this school.
In Columbia, Joseph Pleasant, Nashville, News 2.
Previous racist incidents have involved other students, not the same teen seen in the picture. The school says its internal investigation into the alleged racist behavior continues.
Oh, my God, run for your lives. Run for your lives. The KKK is riding high again in the Zion Christian Academy down in Georgia. You know, they had a picture of this with the kid with this mask. I mean, you know, just something he cut out of a piece of paper and putting up his arm in a Roman salute. And the funny part about it is it looked like to me, from the forearms and what I could see, the skin of the guy that had the Ku Klux Klan mask on, he looked like a half-breed himself. Now, this is going to go worldwide. This is how crazy the press are. And, of course, you know as well as I do that by promoting this stuff all the time and talking about it all the time, there's going to be other kids are going to do it. So, but don't forget, run for your life. The KKK is riding tall, baby. Well, I doubt whether you heard about this one. A Fort Bliss Negro soldier beat his daughter to death for soiling her diaper. When 2-year-old Peyton Graham, like almost any other child her age, soiled her diapers, in other words, she pooped in them, she didn't receive the kind of love and care that a child might deserve. Instead, she lost her life. There you go. Imagine if a soldier would do that to his own kid, what he would do to other people or opponents. If they sent him over to Afghanistan, he'd probably be one of these guys that go out and kill 15 people. Well, a California high school teacher could lose her job after allegedly using a racial slur when explaining why she was reseating students. Earlier this month, Cajon High School teacher Bernadette Eusen, who is not even white herself, she looks like a Negro, reportedly unseated or reseated black students in her class and said she wanted to move all the niggers. Well, probably because all the niggers were causing trouble. The school placed Yusan on administrative leave while it investigates the allegations. Student LaRue Bell says he asked Yusan why she was moving all the black students. And that's when the teacher used the racial slur during a meeting called by the NAACP. A recommendation was put forth calling for the teacher to be banned. Does that mean she's going to be put on an ice floe in the North Sea? The Daily Mail reports, quote, "If you can refer your kids as being niggers, then you don't need to teach them," unquote, said Vice President of the San Bernardino NAACP branch, a Maserati. I think she's an Indian, but she's as dark as most blacks. But school administrators insist they're taking all the necessary steps to get to the bottom of the issue. Quote, "We can assure the public that the district took the students' complaint seriously. And at no time did any district employee minimize the gravity of the impact of the teacher's words," a statement read. Yusan is on paid leave, but many of the NAACP town hall demanded that the teacher be placed on unpaid leave pending the outcome of the investigation. Yusan reportedly admitted using the word nigger, but says she only used it because her students used it too. She also says she didn't use it in a context described by the students. In a statement she uploaded to Scribd, Yuson said the student was being disruptive, and she heard him yell the word nigger at his classmates. She then responded by stating the word, asking him, "Wow, nigger, is that a good word?" You see, if there are no white people around, the other non-whites will call them niggers. I mean, this is Indian or Pakistani or something. She knows there's niggers around too, man. I do happen to know that these Indians from India with the dot on their head don't have much use for the American nigger. That's like the guy who told me one time he was up in New York and he was in school or something. It's been many years since he told me this, that there was these Caribbean blacks up there in New York City, you know, and they speak good English because they got a better educational system under the British educational system. And somehow the question of Negroes came up, and this guy says to him, "We don't care much for these American niggas." And I guess they fight each other all the time in New York City. Yeah, they do. So it'll never end. It'll never end. Well, that's it for today. Freya's Day. We'll be back tomorrow, probably with a sling blade show. And he'll sling that blade all over the place. So 14-5. And be happy. Racism is everywhere. It's all over the internet. Yeah. Be happy. I'm going down to James Dean Town this weekend or Saturday. Yeah, tomorrow. And see some of those old cars. There'll be hundreds and hundreds of custom cars down there. And I'm going to dress up in my 50s outfit. My gal's got me. She likes to dress me up. So anyhow, we'll tell you about it come Monday. Okay. Oops, I forgot one thing. We had a note in here from one of our associates. TT, I want to applaud you once again for your week-long report on how these wars have practically destroyed our race and how it is one big racket. In fact, it could be the most profitable business, even more than drugs. The main question could be that everybody should ask is, are we free? Did we really fight for freedom? No, we fought for the corporations. Because I sure as hell am not free. The top 1% are probably free because that's who benefits the most. Our world population right now is 8%. Just think, without any of these wars, what our population would be. Europe alone is practically going to be nothing but shit-skinned people walking down the street in a couple of years, literally, if not now. Even here in New York, California, Texas, Florida, Chicago, in any other big city in the States, the white population is barely 40%. In fact, Portland could be the only city in America where there is a white majority. Yeah, but that majority is a bunch of liberal bastards on the race issue. They're hypocrites by the numbers in Portland. So anytime I talk to these stupid idiots who say we have to go and fight these Muslims or whomever, I want to drag them by the hair and walk down any street here in New York City, Los Angeles, or Chicago and have them count how many whites you see. And if you want to fight Muslims, you can fight them right here in the United States. You don't even have to go very far. That's it. Bye-bye.